Explorations, a program in special English by the Voice of America. Today, Shirley Griffith and Tony Riggs complete a report about America's second manned space program, Gemini. Its purpose was to bring the United States closer to its goal of landing astronauts on the moon.
To explore the surface of the moon, astronauts must be able to survive outside the protection of their spacecraft. So an astronaut on the flight of Gemini 4, Ed White, took that first frightening step into the unknown. For more than 20 minutes, he floated outside his spacecraft in the emptiness of space. Astronauts on the next flight, Gemini 5, suffered a number of technical problems, but they were able to survive in space for 8 days. Then it was time to launch Gemini 6. Its crew would attempt a move that would be necessary for any landing on the moon. The astronauts would chase another object orbiting Earth, and they would move their spacecraft as close as possible to it. However, the target, a satellite, apparently exploded after it was launched. So America's space agency, NASA, said there was no reason to send up Gemini 6. NASA decided to move ahead with the next flight, Gemini 7.
Then NASA considered yet another plan. It would launch Gemini 7. And if everything was ready, it would launch Gemini 6 a few days later. Gemini 6 would chase and get close to Gemini 7 instead of a satellite. Astronauts Frank Borman and James Lovell were the crew of Gemini 7. They would make the longest, most difficult flight ever. They would spend 14 days in their tiny spacecraft.
Gemini 7 lifted off from Cape Canaveral, Florida, on Friday, December 3, 1965. Workers at the Space Center examined the launch area. There appeared to be no major damage. The workers quickly moved another huge Titan rocket into place. On top of the rocket sat the Gemini 6 spacecraft. NASA announced that Gemini 6 would be launched in the early morning of Sunday, December 12th. The timing would put the two spacecraft in the correct orbit to meet in space. Astronauts Walter Schirra and Thomas Stafford prepared for their flight. They had waited once in a spacecraft that never left the ground. Their first launch had been canceled because the target satellite exploded. This time, they hoped, things would be different.
On that Sunday morning, Schirra and Stafford were again in their tiny Gemini 6 spacecraft atop the Titan rocket. Borman and Lovell, in Gemini 7, speeded across the United States. The countdown at Cape Canaveral reached zero as Gemini 7 passed overhead. Frank Borman's disappointed words from space told the story. I saw ignition, then shut down. For some reason, the Titan rocket engines had fired as planned, but then they shut themselves off 1 second later. For several tense minutes, the astronauts of Gemini 6 were sitting on top of a highly explosive mass of rocket fuel. Shira waited with his hand on a special device. If he pulled it, he and Stafford would get away safely. If he did not pull it and the rocket exploded, they would be killed. With nerves of steel, the astronauts waited. The rocket did not explode.
Once again, Shira and Stafford climbed out of Gemini 6. Borman and Lovell continued to circle the Earth. Soon, the public heard the report. A tiny part at the bottom of the rocket had fallen out too early. That tiny part sent a signal to computers that the launch had taken place. The computers immediately shut off the rocket engines. Space agency officials decided to try one more time. They set the launch for 3 days later. It would be the last chance for Gemini 6 to attempt to meet with Gemini 7 in space. If this attempt failed, the United States would suffer a serious delay in its goal to land astronauts on the moon. Borman and Lovell continued to circle the Earth day after day, as workers hurried to meet the new launch date. They were almost 300 kilometers high. They were moving at 28,000 kilometers an hour.
December 15, 1965. This was it. What could be an impossible effort in the history of spaceflight was ready to lift off on its final chance for success. For the third time, Walter Shira and Thomas Stafford put on their space clothing. They took their places in the Gemini 6 spacecraft. The countdown reached zero just as Frank Borman and James Lovell in Gemini 7 passed overhead. This time, with a thundering roar, Gemini 6 rose into the air. As it headed into space, a radio announcer said, "This whole nation pushed that one up."
Now there were four Americans in space. Gemini 6 followed Gemini 7, but in a lower orbit that moved the two spacecraft closer together. Flight controllers on the ground held their breath. Success was near, yet failure was still very possible. The spacecraft were almost 2,000 kilometers apart. They needed to get within 600 meters of each other. Only then would space agency officials consider the project a complete success.
Time passed quickly as Shira moved Gemini 6 closer and closer to its target. Gemini 6 was now 8 kilometers behind and 24 kilometers below Gemini 7. Shira fired a rocket exactly long enough to put his spacecraft in the same orbit. Then, radar on each spacecraft noted the other spacecraft. Happily, Shira sent a radio message to Gemini 7. "We'll be up shortly," he said. A few minutes later, the astronauts were able to see each other's spacecraft. Success seemed within reach. Only 6.5 kilometers separated them. The two spacecraft continued to float together far out in space.
They moved closer and closer together as they flew across the Indian Ocean. It was about 6 hours since the launch of Gemini 6. For a while, there was no communication from space to Earth. The spacecraft were too far from any ground station to send clear messages. Finally, the voice of Thomas Stafford came through the silence of space. "We are 36 meters apart and sitting." 36 meters! That was far better than the 600 meters space agency officials would have considered a complete success. In fact, the two spacecraft almost touched each other before they separated. Space agency officials now knew that it was possible to join two orbiting spacecraft. The crew on Gemini 6 had made the operation seem easy.
As the American astronauts continued to float through space, they inspected each other and each other's spacecraft. Frank Borman noted happily that after 12 lonely days in space, he and James Lovell finally had company for one night. The next day, Schirra and Stafford completed their flight. Gemini 6 landed in the Atlantic Ocean within 20 kilometers of the rescue ship. Gemini 7 continued to speed on.
On December 18th, ground controllers asked Borman and Lovell if they were ready to come home. "Ready, ready," the astronauts answered. Gemini 7 landed as perfectly as Gemini 6. Astronauts Borman and Lovell had been in space more than 330 hours. They had traveled almost 8,500,000 kilometers.
The flights of Gemini 6 and Gemini 7 greatly increased hope that Americans soon would be able to land on the moon. Schirra and Stafford proved that spaceships could link up while in orbit. Borman and Lovell proved that humans could survive in space for the time needed to get to the moon and back. The distance to the moon suddenly seemed shorter.
5 more Gemini flights followed. Other spacecraft joined with other targets in space and landed exactly where planned. Astronauts worked for longer periods of time in the hostile environment of space. The Gemini program had reached all its goals. Now the United States was ready for the next historic jump into space. It would be Project Apollo. Project Apollo would land men on the moon.
This special English program was written by Marilyn Rice Cristiano. Your narrators were Shirley Griffith and Tony Riggs. I'm Doug Johnson. Listen again next week for another Explorations program on the Voice of America.